have your Bibles, I would like you to turn with me in them to Genesis chapter 18. And we want to begin reading with verse 30. Genesis chapter 18. And we want to begin reading, verse 20. Verse 20. Genesis 18. We begin reading with verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is grievous, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men, or the angels, turned their face from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee, to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. That the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within this city, okay, I will spare all that place for their sakes. Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of 5? And God said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. Abraham spoke again unto him and said, peradventure, there shall be 40 there. And God said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And Abraham said again, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, peradventure, there shall be 30 found there. God said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. That's fine with me. And he said, behold now, I've taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And Abraham said, oh, let not my Lord be angry with me, please. But I speak just this once more. Peradventure, 10 be found there. And God smiled. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. The Lord went his way as soon as he had left, communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. May God add the blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray. Father, I pray that thou would anoint me with the power of thy Holy Spirit. Lord God, move in our hearts and our souls and teach us of thy word. Perhaps today we might find some more insight on prayer and how to pray. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Genesis chapter 13, we find this little phrase in verse 13, chapter 13, 13. It says, the men of Sodom were exceeding wicked. They were wicked. These men and these women were truly, truly wicked. They were the choice of the crop when it came to wickedness. As far as God was concerned, these people perfected wickedness. They were profoundly wicked. You see, they missed the mark. They were sinners. The Hebrew term of sinners simply means to miss the mark. And by the way, in the Greek, the term for sinners is about the same thing, to miss the mark. To be a sinner is to miss the mark and miss the reason for Christ's coming to the earth. To miss the reason why God sacrificed His Son. To be a sinner. Adam Clark says that a sinner is one who is ever aiming at happiness and consistently missing his mark. Because being wicked, radically evil within, every affection and passion depraved, and possessions, and in sensual gratification, the end of which is disappointment, affliction, vexation, and ruin. Clark goes on to say, such were the companions Lot must have in the fruitful land he had chosen. This, however, amounts to no more than the common character of a sinful man. But the people of Sodom were exceedingly sinful and wicked before God, against the Lord. They were sinners of no uncommon character. They excelled in unrighteousness and soon filled up their measure of iniquities. It sounds about like some leaders of our time around the world, doesn't it? Exceedingly wicked. Exceedingly wicked. Now, the commentators look at this conversation as a type of prayer. And they call this type of prayer intercessory prayer. Now, remember, the last time I spoke to you, we talked about the prayer of perseverance. That was Jacob. That was a grandson of Abraham. That was a generation removed from Abraham or two, okay? Jacob clung to the angel. He didn't let go. He had a pressing need, and it was all about Jacob, and Jacob knew he had to have an answer from God. He persevered in prayer. But today, we're not going to look at the perseverance in that way. Instead, we're going to look at intercession. There's a difference here. And the difference is, this time, it doesn't necessarily take me in personally. But there is a need on behalf of someone else that you intercede for. You go to bat on behalf of someone else who has a need. And so, this is what Abraham is doing here. I have 5 points of this little outline this morning. And the first point is the reason for Abraham's intercession. We're going to look at that. And the second is the attitude of Abraham and his intercession. And the third is the rationale of Abraham in intercession. And the fourth is, a little off schedule here, but the proof is in the pudding for Abraham's intercession. And the last is, what lessons are we going to gain from the example of Abraham's intercession? Let's look at Abraham for a minute. Let's look for his reason. What kind of man is this man? What can we find out about this man's conversation and prayer with God? Well, we see right away that he was very sympathetic and tender-hearted. There he was on the brink of that hill, watching the other two angels going down over the hill, going toward that beautiful plain, that well-watered plain where his nephew Lot was, into those two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, my research says they're about the same size together of Columbus, Georgia, more or less. So there was a lot of people in that area. And they were exceedingly wicked. But as Abraham watched those angels go down, he had this terrible thought come on him. He knew that God was ready to judge. He also knew that God was a merciful judge. But God also loved mercy. He also loved mercy. And God knew that there were people down there, children who would be destroyed, men, old women, women who were pregnant with children. He was tender-hearted about their needs. He was sympathetic. He was unselfish because he didn't ask God just to rescue Lot. He wanted God to save all of Sodom and Gomorrah. He asked God for a favor to save the whole nine yards. He had no reason to ask for that, but he did. He was amazing in his Catholic spirit. And the Catholic spirit in this case is non-denominational. It's those who love the Lord. He was looking down there. Perhaps there might be some other people down there beside Lot who need to be spared. Another reason for his intercession is this, is that he understood what chapter 18, verse 23 meant. It said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Do you understand that this is the principle of God? It is a principle that he does not move much from. Abraham looks at God. He says, "Oh, what would you do as a righteous God if you destroy good people down there, God? What will the sinning people of the world think of you?" So he used the scriptures against God. His attitude on intercession, what was it? Was it arrogance? Was it hubris? Was it like the Pharisee who stood on the step of the temple? "Oh, I thank God I'm not like that guy over there." No. No, it wasn't at all that way. Instead, it was humility and holy boldness. In verse 23, again, we find, "And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also?" He came to God. God is the person that we as Christians must turn to in the time of our need. Sometimes we can only turn to God. Sometimes He's the only one that can meet our needs. And how did He turn to God? We turn to God with great confidence. Now, how could He do that? Because he had a relationship with God. He knew God. He was familiar with God's way. He turned to God in eagerness. Now, how did he do that? Why did he do that? Because he knew God would intercede. He was familiar again with God's ways. He was unrestrained. He wasn't going to hold anything back. After all, God knows your heart. He knows really what you're thinking. He knows what you're saying. He sees everything you do. Before you even speak it, the psalmist says, He knows what you're going to say. There was no need to hold anything back. Abraham had the audacity to go to God. He had the audacity to go to God. You're told to do so. St. Luke in the book of Hebrews says this, chapter 10, verse 22. He says, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Sprinkling and washing tells us about the act of baptism. The sprinkling of water and baptism is the symbol of washing in the Holy Scriptures. We are clean before God if we know Him as our Savior. And our Savior begs us to come to Him in prayer daily. And He went in humility. Listen to how humble Abraham was. He said, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak to the Lord." Have you spoken to a sovereign God, the Creator of the universe, and the God who will judge the world? That's sovereign. That's sovereign. If Washington could understand the sovereignty of God, we might get somewhere in this world. If Vladimir Putin could understand the sovereignty of God, we might get somewhere in this world. If we as Christians could understand the sovereignty of God, we might truly be the salt of the world. Abraham understood that. He was humble before God. In verse 30 he says, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry." He had a purpose. He had a mission. He looked down there on that plain and there were those sinful people. He was interceding for them. Not for himself, not for Lot, but for them. He had no reason to intercede for them. He didn't do any business with them. He didn't make any money off of them. He was in the hills. That's where he lived. Third time he says, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry." Twice. Twice. So we see that his intercession was very humble. He was fervent. He had fervent urgency. When you go to prayer, what kind of urgency do you have? He wasn't going to be stopped. He was going to talk to God. God was standing there. And God was taking it all in. This reminds me of a story in the New Testament of the woman, the woman who is nothing more than a Canaanite. She comes to Jesus in Matthew chapter 15. And she comes to Jesus and she cries out to Jesus, "Oh Lord, My daughter is specked with is inflicted with an evil spirit. She's vexed of her heart. The spirit is tearing her apart. Oh, Lord God, intervene. And Jesus looks at her and says, oh, you're a Canaanite. I didn't come to Canaanites. I came to the children of Israel. Oh, she didn't stop. She begged him, Jesus, my daughter is being torn apart by this demon. I beg you. And Jesus looks at her and says, you're a dog. You're nothing but a dog. Go back there and look at that. Now, some of us, if God would tell us that, we'd go away stumping and angry. Isn't it interesting how we don't like God's rebuke? We live in a society that everything's got to be positive. Well, I have a little battery here in this thing. Two batteries here and two batteries here. And without a negative, these things don't work. I've never seen a battery without a negative. Now, there might be one, but I haven't seen one. It takes a negative and a positive to make things work. And sometimes God does get negative for us with us because we need it. We need it. And Jesus looked at this woman. Go away. You're nothing but a dog. And she says, Lord, you do feed dogs that come under the table. You allow them to eat crumbs. So I'm a dog. Give me some crumbs. Give me some crumbs. Jesus liked her audacity and her humility, and he gave her what she wanted. This woman did not rest with our Lord's first response. She intervened on behalf of her daughter. The prayer of intercession does not rest. Abraham's rationale for his intercession. Abraham's rationale was, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? The world will mock at you if you do that, God. This is a principle of God. He understood that. That principle is brought up again over here in chapter 15, verse 16 of Genesis. And Abraham is really reminding the Lord of the Amorites. And in that passage, the Bible says, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So God still saw some righteousness in these Amorites. And God did not move against them. And Abraham is using the word of God and reminding God of his mercy to the Amorites. You did it for them. Peradventure, there might be some righteous here. He didn't give up. He didn't give up. One writer says, with marvelous ingenuity, pitching the hypothetical number of pious sodomites so high as to ensure a favorable response, and gradually diminishing as grace enlarges, and with an unwearied assertity, refusing to discontinue his holy argument so long as a chance remained of saving Sodom. This is what Abraham did. Now, Abraham probably knew there wasn't 50 righteous down there. But he started there. And God said, that's all right. And then when God said, yeah, I'll save for 50, Abraham thought about that. That's grace. That's undeserved grace for 50. Do it for 45. For 45. It's like an auction. Hey, I hear that bid 45. It's just 45, you know. I'll do it for 45. Abraham took courage. God was listening. But he didn't stop at 45, did he? He didn't stop at all at 45. He went all the way down to 10. He went all the way down to 10. Now, we want to look at the proof is in the pudding. We want to do a little analyzing of this prayer. There were no conditions. There was nothing unconditional made here in this prayer or his request. Nothing. Everything was conditioned. And guess who met the conditions? If you said Abraham met the conditions, you're wrong. This time, God met Abraham's condition. You see, God wants to commune with us. God wants to speak with us. He wants a dynamic relationship with us. And prayer is the only thing that gives us that dynamic relationship with God. And intercessory prayer goes a long way. It goes a long way. All of his requests were conditional. And God met the condition. Will you do it for 50? Yeah, I'll save him. 45? Yes, I'll save him.
30? Yeah, I said, God didn't say, you dummy. There ain't no 30 down there. What you talking about? That's why I'm here. They're nasty. They're wicked. They're evil. No, God didn't say that. I can imagine that God had the same expression on His face that I saw on that little Ukrainian's face when we were in Ukraine. Our missionary stopped to buy some cucumbers. We were hungry. I never learned how to eat cucumbers before, and I never ate cucumbers since. So, while I was over there, I ate cucumbers. And there was this bucket of cucumbers, and this little old man was sitting in front of his little village, his little gate, his little house, his whatever you wanted to call it, out there in the village, a really run-down little place. And he was sitting there, and he was just minding his own business when this big Ford van pulled up, and our missionary stepped out. Now, she would never be deterred, and she asked him in Russian, how much is that bucket of pickles? And he told her. And she said, oh, no, that's too much. Well, how much you want to pay? And she said, so-and-so. Well, he recognized right away that she certainly wasn't from there. She had to be from Kansas, don't you know? She didn't speak the right language just right. And so there was a little grin that came across his face. And she gave him another price. And he just had that sweet grin on his face. He wasn't upset. She dickered with him on a price. And finally she paid a price. And we put the pickles in the van. Got in, drove off. She said to us, I still think he charged too much for those pickles. But the expression on his face was sweet. And I think that that was the expression on the face of God, this sweet expression. I like to deal with people. I like to deal with people who have audacity. And so God said, yeah, I'll save all of them for 10. For 10. But take note. There's a little technical thing here. It says in the Bible, and the Lord went His way as soon as He left communication with Abraham. There in the Hebrew, we understand it to mean as soon as Abraham stopped speaking to the Lord. God met every condition of Abraham. Every condition of Abraham that Abraham asked for, God met. But then Abraham stopped. Because Abraham looked down over Sodom and Gomorrah and he started to do math. Now, he's right in the area of mathematics I can handle, I think. The numbers 1 to 10. Okay? A little bit of adding and subtracting here. And he started to count. Well, I think maybe I can get mercy for Lot and his wife and his 4. But I need 6 more. Maybe the mayor. No, not the mayor. Maybe some of the count. No, ain't no way. Well, their high priests are terrible. He couldn't come up with any more. God met him where he was. And he interceded for this wicked city. He interceded for this wicked city. You see, it is our privilege as the children of God to intercede. Intercede for our nation. How many of you have truly gotten a hold of God and consistently prayed for this country? How many? More than that, how many of you have gotten a hold of God and truly prayed for the Methodist Church? The church needs your prayer. Not only the United Methodist Church, the Independent Methodist Church, let me here to tell you, they need prayer too. The Bible Methodist Church, a Congregational Methodist Church. The Free Methodist Church, the Wesleyan Methodist Church, the AME Church, the CME Church, all of the holiness churches within the Methodist family. When have you taken a hold of God and interceded on behalf of your church? When was it that you prayed for our pastor? When did you intercede on his behalf? Don't criticize until you intercede for a man, particularly the man of God. John Wesley had a friend whose name was John Fletcher, John Fletcher of Melody. John Fletcher of Melody was supposed to be the guy who took over Methodism when John Wesley died. The only problem is that John Fletcher died before Wesley. And then Wesley decided that his brother Charles Wesley would take over the movement when he died. The only problem was that Charles Wesley died before John Wesley died. And so Wesley had a problem. Who would take it over? And so he never really designated anybody. He decided he'd just let them decide that on their own cell, within their own groups, you know. But this John Fletcher Melody was known for his power in prayer. I believe I brought him up to you in your remembrance the last time I preached. He would meet people and he'd say, "Do I meet you praying? Hey, if I would meet you tomorrow out here on the street, can I ask you that question, and what would your answer be? Am I a prayer warrior enough to have the right to ask you the question? And are you a prayer warrior enough to be able to answer that question?" It's a piercing question, isn't it? Do I meet thee praying? When was the last time we met with God praying? Finally, we should always take our fellow men to the Lord in prayer. Intercessory prayer. Are you intercessors this morning? Do you pray? Do you plead for others? Your nation? Don't get me wrong. Please continue to pray for your children. Please intercede. Get a hold of God as Jacob. And don't give up. He welcomes your prayers. I would like to close with this quote from Dr. Adam Clark. "How true is that word? The energetic, faithful prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Abraham draws near to God by affection and faith, and in the most devout and humble manner makes prayer and supplication. And every petition is answered on the spot. Nor does God cease to promise to show His mercy till Abraham ceases to intercede." What engagement does this hold out for them that fear God? To make prayer an intercession for their sinful neighbors and ungodly relatives. "Faith," says Adam Clark, "in the Lord Jesus Christ endures prayer with a species of omnipotence. Whatsoever a man asks of the Father in His name, He will do it." Prayer has been termed the gate of heaven, but without prayer, the gate cannot be opened. He who prays as he should and believes as he ought shall have the fullness of the blessing of the gospel. May God add this sermon to our hearts and our souls that we might benefit in His grace. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, O Lord, for all that Thou hast given to us. And as the disciples asked You to teach them to pray, so we pray, O Lord, as we look at this song, this passage, that You would teach us another aspect of praying. Now, Lord, be with us and help us to pray. In Jesus' name, amen.